14 klolim that guide him in determining what counts as a mitzvah and what not. So one of his klolim is that you don't count in the minyan mitzvahs a mitzvah klolis. You only count mitzvahs protios. He gives as an example kedoshim tiyu. Kedoshim tiyu just means we should keep all the mitzvahs. We should all be kedoshim, and it's a reference to all of the tariyat mitzvahs. That doesn't deserve to be counted as an independent mitzvah. And he quotes Tana from the Sifra, who says like this, that the Tana refers to this pasuk as just meaning we should keep all the mitzvahs. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Chumash, gives a different, has a famous interpretation. He says, no, that this, a mitzvah klolus, you only count mitzvahs protios. He gives as an example, kedoshim tiyu. Kedoshim tiyu just means we should keep all the mitzvahs. It should all be kedoshim, and it's a reference to all of the tariyat mitzvahs. That doesn't deserve to be counted as an independent mitzvah. And he quotes Tana from the Sifra, who says like this, that the Tana refers to this pasuk as just meaning we should keep all the mitzvahs. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Chumash, gives a different, has a famous interpretation. He says, no, that this is a specific mitzvah, that it's possible for a person to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpochen and still to be a novel b'shus HaTorah. The person, let's say, always wants to be with women, but sometimes his wife will be a nido, she'll be asur, so he'll marry more than one wife, but sometimes she'll be a nido, well, now he'll have 10 wives, and every night he'll be with another wife, all day and all night. And food, everything is absolutely at glad kashrus. And he'll go and he'll eat, he'll be fressing, he'll be eating all day and all night, he'll be gnashing on potato chips and popcorn, cracker jacks and eating meat and drinking wine. All the wine is kosher wine, all the meat is glad kosher meat, everything is kosher. So what's wrong? So all the women went to mikveh, they were all his wives, what's wrong? So that's what the Ramban says, is a violation of this mitzvah of kedoshim tiyu. A person can be observant, he can be strictly orthodox in observance of all of the 612 mitzvahs and still be in violation of this mitzvah, the 613. A person has to act in a fashion of kiddusha, not to act as a novel b'shus HaTorah. How does that fit in with the pasuk kedoshim tiyu ki kodesh ani Hashem Elokeinu? How do you read the end of the pasuk? We should act in a proper fashion. The pasuk sounds like it's telling us for halachta bedrochot kedoshim tihiyu ki kodesh ani Hashem Elokechem. I am kodosh, and I created all of man, b'tzelem elokim, and everybody has the potential to act in a fashion of kedusha. So Hashem commands us to preserve that tzelem elokim, halachta bedrochot, to preserve that tzelem elokim that we all have within us. So kedoshim tihiyu ki kodesh ani Hashem Elokechem. So how does this fit in? We should not act in a fashion of novel b'shus HaTorah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kodesh. He doesn't have 10 wives. How does that fit in? He doesn't eat, he doesn't nibble on Nasharaya all day. What does it mean? So Reb Shimon Shkop has a beautiful essay in the Hagdamah to his classic Sefer. He wrote a Sefer Shari Yoshes, and the Hagdamah to the Sefer, he has Divrei Drush. So he has a comment on this. He thinks that the way the Ramban reads the Pasuk seems to be the following. That Kiddusha means that God always does for others. God is not interested in doing anything for himself. He didn't create the world because he is in need of the world. He's not lacking anything. He created the world, that's how some Kabbalah sources write, that Teva HaTov LaHeitiv, God is kind. He has within him this feeling of kindness, and if there's no world, so there's no one to shower your kindness upon. A strange explanation, but that's what it says. Teva HaTov LaHeitiv. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to have to whom to be mated. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaddish, he never does anything for himself. So the Pasuk says we should also do things for others. We shouldn't be selfish. If a person is going to nash all day and all night, what does anybody else get out of that? He gets something out of it. He's enjoying the fruit. He's going to be with women all day and all night. What are the other people? Okay, the women have a good time also, but he's with all of these women. He's mainly interested only in giving himself a good time. Look, we're not going to say everybody should fast on Esim. No one should eat any food. We're all going to drop dead. So you have to eat a little bit. The Pasuk says in Mishle Tzadik, Eichol Esoy Vanafsha. A real Tzadik doesn't overeat. He doesn't dash. He doesn't, he's not going to be overweight. A real Tzadik only eats Esoy Vanafsha. And Biur Agro on the Pasuk in Chavakuk, the Gemara says in the end of Makkos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs, And then finally it says, Boch HaVakuk Vehednida Mamacha Alachas. And HaVakuk came along and he said, Benavua, that the essence of all the Tayag mitzvahs is the one mitzvah, Tzadik Taimenosa Yichya. So what does that mean, Tzadik Taimenosa Yichya? Tzadik will live with his emunah. The Ikan mitzvah is emunah, to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they quote in the Biur Agrah. All the Biur Agrah were not written by the Nomad, they're written by students. But the Talmid Agrah quote the Shem Agrah. That he thought that Tzadik Taimenosa Yichya doesn't really mean to emphasize emunah. Usually we understand the Gemara that a person has to be mechazik himself in the Yud Gimel Ikori HaEmunah. That's what the pasuk says, Baruch HaBakev Yamina Malachas. Emunah is the most important of all the mitzvahs, and if he is strong in emunah, then everything else will follow. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that he doesn't think that it means that. The word tzadik b'manasa yichya means b'midas ahistapkus. That the word tzadik here has the same connotation as it has in the pasuk in Mishlei. Tzadik oichel l'soy v'anafsho. He's mistapik b'mash yeshlo. He doesn't have chemda, he doesn't desire what belongs to other people. And even what belongs to him, he doesn't desire more than he needs. He doesn't spend so much money on clothing, and he doesn't eat so much, and he doesn't run around with so many women, and so on. Just he takes care of himself. So a person, of course, has to be self-centered in a certain sense. He has to take care of himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to do anything to take care of himself. That's where Rav Shimon Shkop interprets the comment of the Torah's Kohanim on this pasuk. Kedoshim tiyu, ki kodesh ani Hashem alakechem. So the Tanoim have a comment in the Sifra. Kedoshim tiyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of all of us that we should act in a holy fashion. Yochol kamoni, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us we should be on the high level of Kedusha that he is on. Talmud Vayma, the pasuk continues to say, not so. Ki kodesh ani Hashem alakechem, which implies Kedushasi, the Maila Mikdush Aschem, my level of sanctity is above the level that you can ever attain. So what was the Havamin of the Torah's Kanim? What was the Maskana? Where do you see it in the Pasuk? Where do you see it in the Pasuk? That's another question. Where do you see that Kedushasi Lamaila Mikdush Aschem? The simple reading of the Pasuk is we should be Kedoshim because he's Kodesh. We were all created B'tzel and Rekiva Halachta B'drach. We should go in the ways of God. So where do you see Kedushasi Lamaila Mikdush Aschem? That Rav Shimon doesn't explain. That part he doesn't explain. That others explain. That the word Kedoshim is written Chasavav, and the word Kikodesh Ani is written Molevav. So that perhaps is the punchline of the comment of the Torah's Kohanim, Kedushasi L'mayla Mekedusha Aschem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha is Kedusha Maleya, full degree, a full Nida of Kedusha, whereas the Kedusha that we can attain, that we are commanded to observe, is a lower level. That's why it's written Chasav. I mentioned a few times there's a sefer by some Rav from Germany, it's not a prominent figure. He wrote a whole sefer, Amole v'chase v'tanach. So he quotes every drasha in the Gemara that he thinks is based on a mole and a chase. We had a little bit in Tzubis. The Gemara has a comment in the third paragraph in Tzubis. Sometimes the word Naira is spelled in Tanach, Nunayin Reish Hei, and most of the time it's spelled Nunayin Reish. So the Gemara has a drasha on that. How come sometimes it's mole, sometimes chase? The Gemara has a drasha on that. And this, so that's one place. And there's a famous word from the Vilna Gaon, ki yiftach yishbor, ki yichri yishbor. One is with a vav, one is without a vav. So one is a bar tes, and one is a bar yud. That's a famous vertel from the Vilna Gaon. But more than that, is not so famous. So this rabbi wrote a whole sefer collecting all the drushes in the Gemara that he thinks are based on Mali and Chassid. So this is one of them, Kedoshim Tiyu. He has another one on the Tvul Yom in Parshas Parah Aduma, in Parshas Parah. It says, V'yizah ha-tohor, Allah Tome. So the word Tohar is spelled Tes Hei Resh, not spelled Tes Hei Vav Resh. So this Rav thinks that that's the drasha that the Gemara says. The Gemara says that one of the 10 issues that was a heated debate between the Tzdukim and the Pushim during the period of the Bai Sheni was when you have Paraduma water to be Mitar, someone who's a Tome Meis. So you have to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi. The person went to a funeral, let's say, on Monday. So you have to have Hazor Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday Shlishi. And then the seventh day after is going to be Sunday. I didn't give an example of when going to a funeral on Sunday, because then you can't do Hazor Shvi on Shabbos. We don't allow Hazor Shlishi Shvi on Shabbos or Yom Kippur because it's a Mesakin Mona Midrabbon, because it helps to do the Tahara. So let's say a person went to a funeral on Monday, so he can't have the first Hazor until Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shlishi, and then Sunday of the next week is going to be Hazor Shvi. And if the Yav Hazor Shlishi Shvi, then he's able to go to the mikveh and become Tohar. By another Tomei, by any other form of Tumi, you go to the mikveh whenever the prescribed time is. either before Shkia, after the Shkia, or after Shemunikim, whatever the case happens to be, you go to the mikveh and you acquire your Tahara. And by Tomei Meis, the Tahara, the Tvila in the mikveh, doesn't accomplish Tahara unless it was preceded with the Hazor Shlishi Yishvi. So during the period of the Bai Sheni, this was being practiced from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till after the Churban HaBayis, in the days of the Amoraim. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Nida, they still had Paraduma water in Eretz Yisrael. Chavraya medakan begalilo. The Gemara has a lotion. Tosis quotes it a lot of times. The Gemara says in Nida, Chavraya, the Talmid HaChamim, amitire themselves, the Paraduma water, and the Galila in Eretz Yisrael, they still had a little Paraduma water left. You can't make a Paraduma, bisman shein beis amigdash kayim. So when they ran out of the Paraduma water, that was it. Because when you prepare the Paraduma, you have to be mazeh nechach amigdash. So they had for a while, even the period of the Amoraim, they still had Paraduma water. So during the Bai Sheni, there were big disputes between the Tzdukim and the Purushim. So one of the 10 issues that was a hot debate was, Iza Tohar Ala Tomei, the one who's sprinkling the water on the Tomei, the one who's sprinkling the water has to himself be Tohar. If he himself is Tomei, he cannot be Mazah. What if he's Tomei, and he went to Mikveh, but he didn't have Harav Shemesh yet? The din is that one who goes to the Mikveh becomes Tohar, with respect to eating Maisa Sheni. If a person goes to the Tomei, he's not permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. The Pasuk says, Lo b'yaitim imena b'tomei. In the Vida Maisa you say, I did all the mitzvahs properly, I did not consume the Maisa Sheni in the state of Tumah. So from that Pasuk we derive that a person in the state of Tumah is not permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. So the Mishnah says that if a person goes to the Mikveh at 11 o'clock in the morning, he can eat Maisa Sheni right away. When he comes out of the Mikveh, he can eat Maisa Sheni. But if he's a Kohen and he wants to eat Truma, he's not permitted to eat Truma until Hayrav Shemesh, until Tzeisa Kacham. That's the first Mishnah in Brachas. Yishosh HaKonim Nechnosim Lechol B'Trumosim. And if he wants to eat Korbanos, so sometimes that's also not sufficient Hayrav Shemesh. If he's one of those four people who has to bring a Korban, Zav Zav Yeledes HaMetzorah, so he's a Mechusa Kippurim, even after the Hayrav Shemesh, even after going to the Mikveh, and after having the Hayrav Shemesh, the Tzeisa Kacham following the Tefillah in the Mikveh, still has to bring the korban in the Beis HaMikdash to complete his Tahara process, and only then is he allowed to eat the korbanos. So the psukim say in Chumash that the person who is mazeh, the paraduma water on the Tomei, has to be himself tohar. What degree of Tahara does he have to have? Let's say he just went to the mikveh, but he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh. Or he already had Harav Shemesh, but he didn't yet bring the korbanos. If he's a Zav Zav, he allowed him to serve. Is he considered a Tomei, or is he considered a Tohar? So the Gemara has a machloikis between the Tanoim had this debate, this man Bai Sheni. The Tzedukim, who didn't follow any of the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh, they said the Tohar has to be Tohar, and you cannot be Mazeh if you yourself are a Tvul Yom. If you just went to the Mikveh, and you didn't have Harav Shemesh yet, so you cannot be Mazeh on someone else. And the Chachamim insisted that it's not so. That a person who went to the Mikveh, even if he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, he's not allowed to eat Shumah. But basically, he's tor benegir to chulin. If he touches chulin, he won't be mitame. Basically, he's tor benegir to ma'ase sheni. He's even permitted to eat ma'ase sheni. So he's tor. So he's permitted to do the hazoas paraduma, even though he's not a full tor. So the Gemara sounds like the darshining of the pasuk. He's a tor ala tami, even though he's only a tfulyom. Where is there a drasha in the pasuk? Where does it say like this? That this, and then the Gemara says that this man by sheni. There was such friction between the Tzedukim and the Purushim, so the Chacham used to go out of the way to demonstrate that we don't follow anything that the Tzedukim say. Even their Chumras, not only do we not follow their Kulas, we're not allowed to follow their Chumras either. So they used to have people to participate in the Asiyas Paraduma, the Dafke, they would be Metame them the same day, they'd insist they should go to the Mikveh, and they would be Dafke, do the Asiyas HaPara with people who are Tvulayom. Kedei Lehoitzi Melivam Shalat Tzedukim, to show that their Chumras, the Chumras are also wrong, the Kulas are wrong, the Chumras are wrong. If you don't follow the Torah Shema Peh, everything is cockeyed, everything is wrong. So they quote this pasuk, these are Tahar al-Atami, that's the source for this halacha that a Tvoyom is permitted to do the Asiyas Paradum and to be Mazeh. What do you see in the pasuk? What degree of Tahar? So on this sefer, this author writes, he thinks that it's from the fact that it's written Chasar Vav. Tahar is usually spelled Tesei Vav Resh, and here it's spelled Tesei Resh, not spelled Mole. So it means that he's an incomplete Tahar. He only has an incomplete Tahar. Like over here, he thinks that the drush is from the word Kedoshim Chaser as opposed to Kekodesh Ani Moli. That's just as far as where did the Tanoim see the drasha from? But Rav Shimon Shkaf doesn't discuss that. He discusses, what are the Tanoim driving at? What do you mean? Ahava meaning that we should be on the same level of sanctity as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Sefer comes up with the Chiddush, no, Kedushasi Lemaile Mekedushaschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level of Kedusha is higher than that we can ever attain. What was the Ahava mean? What was the Maskana? What does it mean? So he thinks that the Pshat, along the lines of the Ramban, he thinks that the Pshat and Kedusha is when people do for others. Just parenthetically, it sounds like that in the Medrash on Rus. The Medrash Rabbi on Rus says that this little Megillah has no halachas in it. Right, it does have halachas in it. It has all the halachas of Geiris and all the halachas of Kinyan Sudur. But that's what the Medrash says, that this little Sefer of Rus has no Tumah Betara, has no Issa Behetta, does not have any halachas. Why was it written? In order to teach you Matan Schoran Shem Dom Leich HaSodim. That because Rusama Aviyah was so kind to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who lost her husband and lost her two sons, she was so kind that she took care of her. And then Boaz was so kind to Rusama Aviyah, so they got the prize that their descendants are the Malchus Beis David. They won the best prize in the world. They're the ancestors of David HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach is going to come from them. L'adiyas charam shel gomlei chasodim. And usually we say that the essence of the book of Rus is all about Geirus, about the Kedushas Yisrael. It tells you how the non-Jew becomes a Jew. So how do the two fit in together? So it sounds a little bit as if the definition of Kedusha is to be kind to others. Minas Chasadim, that's the essence of Kedusha. So that's what Rav Shimon Shkaf thinks is the Pshat in this Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaddish in the sense he never does anything. He doesn't sit and eat popcorn and Cracker Jacks. He doesn't have the 10 women. He doesn't do anything lahanoas atzmo. He does chasarim to others. He only does for others. He never does anything for himself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of us, kedoshim to you, we should also do for others. We should be kind to others. So Yochel Kamoni, one might mistakenly think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling upon us to be altruistic. We should only do for others. We should never do anything for ourselves. And then the drasha continues. Rav Shimon doesn't explain it. The Rosh continues to say, no, ki kodesh ani, the implication is, kedushasi lemaile mekedushaschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who never does for himself. Human beings always have to do for themselves. And Rav Shimon interprets the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but Hillel says, emeina lili mili. A person always has to be egotistic. He always has to be doing for himself. But if his understanding of himself is only himself, so that's terrible. It's going to be, he doesn't even care about his wife, doesn't care about his children. So that's terrible. But he always has to do for himself, but he has to understand that himself includes his wife, and when he has a family, himself includes his children, and it includes his parents and his cousins, and includes the whole community that he lives in, and includes the whole Klal Yisrael, includes the whole world in a certain sense. So really, a person has to be out for himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not out for himself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu only does for others. And he asks of us to do for others, but not in the same way he does, but he does purely for others. We shouldn't even try to attain we shouldn't even dream of such a thing. That we should be encouraged only to do for others. So Rav Shimon holds that that's not right. And may not nili mili, you have to do for yourself. However, im anili atzmi, if the definition of ani is only me, myself, and I, and I don't include anybody else in myself, so that's moani, so that's terrible. So we have to do for others because others are an extension of ourselves. But not that in principle it's really the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for others that he really does for others. He doesn't do for himself at all. It's not that he's doing for himself and the whole world is an extension of himself. He does for, he wants to do for others. It's an interesting interpretation. In other religions they preach like that. That they call upon man to do everything for others and not to do anything for themselves. So Rav Shimon says that that's unreasonable, and that's what the halacha, that's what the Torah's Quran commented on the pasuk, that the halacha doesn't require that. Because it's just unattainable. The Parsha has a blend of dinim bein adam lamakam bein adam chaver, switching back and forth sometimes within the same pasuk. You have half of the pasuk is bein adam lamakam, half of the pasuk is bein adam chaver. So you have the din of mora aviyim. There is a din of kibud aviyim and there is a din of mora aviyim. The Gemara Kiddushin explains the two different things. Kibud aviyim means to give service to the parents. Rashi refers you to the Gemara Kiddushin daf lamed beis. Kibud is machilo mashkehu malbish umano machnes emotzi. If the parents need help walking, if the parents need help getting dressed, The parents need help eating food, so to take care of all their physical needs. That's called kibbutz. And mora is to have respect. We usually translate kibbutz to have respect for the parents. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara that that's not really the correct definition. Kibbutz means to give service. The service has to be given with a smile. Has to be given with an attitude. If the son puts down a $1,000 bill on the table and he says, here, buy all the food you want, and he curses the father, so he's not here to the kibbutz either. Kibbutz has to be with the proper attitude. The Gemara says sometimes the child, yesh machel other pasyoni. The Gemara says sometimes the child can feed his father pheasant, and he's in violation of kibbutz aviyim, because he puts the food down on the table. He comes out of Shabbos and he buys everything from the meal mart, whatever. He says, here's your lousy food, and enjoy your Shabbos. And he slams the door and he walks out. See, he's not yotzi kibbutz aviyim either. Not only not yotzi mor aviyim, because he shows disrespect, he's not yotzi the kibbutz either. The kibbutz shouldn't be just to service the parents without the proper attitude. And then the Gemara says sometimes he makes his father work in a mill, difficult work, and he gets olam haba, because that's his form of kibbutz aviyim. And one tells the whole medrash, then one occasion the father was drafted to the army and was going to get killed in the army. So the son said, I'll go, not for the army, for the war army, but to work for the king. So the father was an old man. He would fall apart if he would go work for the king. So the son had a job working in a mill. So he told the father, you take over my job and I'll go and I'll substitute for you for the Avodas HaMelech. So even though he made his father do hard work, but that was in lieu of the more difficult work that the father would have to do. So the son was in fulfillment of kibbutz aviyim under those circumstances, because he was helping out the father. That was the lesser of the two evils under those circumstances. So kibbutz means to service the parents, helping them out. If they need the help, look, if the father is healthy enough and he wants to make his own cup of coffee, and you run under his feet and you make a cup of coffee, getting in his way. So that's not kibbutz aviyim. The father wants to feel that he's healthy enough, he's young enough, healthy enough to take care of himself. The Ritzon HaShaladim Zal Kvoda, whatever the father needs, whatever the parents need, that's the definition of whatever services they need, and they would appreciate, that's the definition of kibbutz. Whatever services they would prefer not, and my father doesn't want me to tie shoelaces, he's still healthy enough to tie his own shoelaces. So that's not the fulfillment of kibbutz, to be manial, to put on his shoes. He wants to feel that he's able to put on his own shoes. But if the parents would appreciate the assistance, then that's called kibbutz. And Mara is to show respect for the parents. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, why does it say Ish? Kola tarukula b'loshen zocha nichtavol. We don't have any neutral gender. In Hebrew, everything is either masculine or feminine. There is no neutral gender. So despite the fact that kola tarukula is written here, kidoshim tihiyu, it doesn't say kidoshos tihiyu. But it applies to the women equally. Kola tarukula b'loshen zocha nichtavol, but ish v'akos, v'ish v'ish. The Gemara Bava Kama, Tazvav has a series of three psukim, which indicate to us that despite the fact that everything in Tanakh is written B'loshen Zachar, it applies to the women as well. Unless it says Ish. When it says Ish, that usually means Ish below Isha. Unless the Gemara has a drasha that if not so, like Kigach Shor Isha Shor Eyegos. So what does it mean, Kigach Shor Isha Ish below Shor Isha? The Gemara says, no, a different drasha, what the word Ish means. But you very often, I don't know, usually, very often the word Ish means to the exclusion of women. So over here is a problem, it says Ish. So it sounds like the mitzvah only applies to the men and doesn't apply to the women, but then it says tira'u. It should say ish imo v'yaviv yiro or tira. It's dumb, a difficult pasuk. It switches from third person to second person. Tira'u is second person and ish is third person. It's dumb switching from nista to nocha. It's another problem. But it switches from the singular to the plural. So the Pshuta Shal Mikra, one can say, Kol Ish V'Yish. Each and every one of you, Tira'u, you should all fear your parents. That's a simple Pshat. So Rashi says, Zeu Pshuta, that's the Pasha Pshat. Well, Midrasha, and the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara quotes the Brises in the Torah's Kohanim, and it's quoted in the Sugya of Kibbutz Aviyim, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. Ish really means Ish below Isha, and Tira'u means the plural, that women are also obligated in Kibbutz Aviyim. So what do you, it's a contradiction in the same pasuk. It says Ish, and then you say Tiro. So the Gemara says, in theory, in principle, the women are just as obligated as the men are in the mitzvahs of Kibbutz Aviyim and Mor Aviyim. But very often, due to circumstances, the women are simply not Sipik B'Yodim. They don't have the ability to fulfill Kibbutz Aviyim. Why not? So Tosis explains on the Gemara what it means. The boys from California and the girls from New York. Boy came to learn in New York in the yeshiva. He meets the girl. The girl lives in New York. They get married. Where's he going to work for a living? He moves into back to California to work with his father. The father's business. That used to be normal years ago. Children would join the father's business. So if the father lives in a different city, so the couple moves in. Couple moves in to the father's home. So the mother-in-law from New York calls up her daughter in California. Could you please come help me go shopping? So the daughter's going to take a flight, and go help the mother go shopping. And the mother says, oh, I'd like someone to cook me Shabbos. So the daughter's going to go from California to New York to cook a Shabbos. That's unreasonable. There's a limit to keep it aviyim. It's within reason. Keep it aviyim is a mitzvah, basically the mitzvah of hakaras hatov. Express your appreciation and gratitude to your parents. So let's say someone was so kind to me, he gave me $1,000 check. A matana, he likes me very much, gives me $1,000. Out of hakaras hatov, I'm obligated to give him back $1,000 check. I just undid the whole table. Hakaras hatov doesn't mean you have to give back 100% the whole table that he gave me. I have to give him back everything. No. Out of hakaras hatov, I have to do something else in exchange. Not to the same degree. A little less. You're not going to have to give back. So hakaras hatov, even though the parents give their lives for the children, everything centers about the children. And when the babies are young, everything centers about the children. The parents stay up all day and all night, and everything revolves about. And the parents take on extra jobs in order to get pretty clothing for the children and to send them to the best schools and so on. But nonetheless, the children are not mechuyev to give a hakaras hatov when the parents become old and they need assistance. The children are not mechuyev to center around everything around their parents and to give everything back. To the same extent, let's say the parents for the first 10 years of the children's lives till the age of 10 were going crazy around the children. So the children are mechuyev for the last 10 years of their parents' lives to center everything? No, not mechuyev to that extent. The halacha says, the Gemara has a machlekes about this, and we paskin that kibud av is mishalav lo mishal bein. Means let's say my father says, Hershalah, I'd like to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he's hinting I should pay for his trip. So I say, okay, give me your credit card and I'll be happy to call up the travel agent. I'll drive you to the airport. He says, no, keep it out. He wants me to pay. So the halacha says, I'm not mechuyev, even though I'm a wealthy person. If my father has money and I have money, that's not included in kibudav. Kibudav is mishalav and lo mishal bein. The father has to spend the money. Son is not mechuyev to spend the money. That's not part of kibudav. So in Shulchan Aruch, they expand this idea. Mishalav and lo mishal bein doesn't only mean that I don't have to spend the money. The last Ramor in Simen Reish Mem, the Simen by Kibud Aviyim, so the last Ramor writes, let's say the boy is in love with a certain girl and then he introduces the girl to the parents. The parents don't like the girl. They say, we don't want you to marry that girl. Ah, Galitziana, ah, Yeke, whatever, for some wild reason. They don't want him to marry that girl. And the guy says, but I'm in love with the girl. So they say, keep it up. You're not allowed to marry the girl. So the Ramor says, you don't have to listen to your parents when it comes to a Shidduch. Sometimes it's not wise not to listen to your parents. Sometimes the parents have more experience. They know what they're talking about. The child is just infatuated, just fell in love with that, realizing that this is a disaster for him. Sometimes it'll be his utter destruction. He's going to marry this girl. Okay? So if a guy has intelligent parents and he has a good relationship with his parents, so he'll realize that, and the parents are intelligent. Some of the parents are not intelligent. Sometimes the parents have a different perspective on life, so what they think is the best shidduch is not the parents are more observant than the children, less observant than the children, more teridic, less teridic, whatever it happens to be. So they're looking for different things in life. They don't realize who their child is. It's a different story. But the Ramot doesn't mean you should never listen to your parents' advice when it comes to marriage. The Ramot would also agree it's a good idea to listen. But he says in such a case, well, there's nothing wrong with the shidduch, just the parents are unhappy. They don't want them to marry that girl. So the halacha says that there's no din of kibud aviyim. So the Vilna Goyen in this commentary on Shulchan Aruch there, at the end of Siman Reish Mem, gives you the three reasons for this Psak Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So the one reason he gives is because getting married is a mitzvah, and since the son is interested in doing a mitzvah, and the parents are telling him, he says, I can either marry Rachel Aleya, my heart really dictates I should marry Rachel, and the parents say, no, marry Leah. So he says, okay, so I'll marry Leah and get married the same. He's going to get married anyway in June. Not getting married today. He's going to get married in June anyway, or in September, whatever it is. So they're not going to postpone the marriage. So if that's the case, so the parents are not really preventing him from fulfilling a mitzvah. He tells the parents they have two possibilities, and either girl is dying to marry me, and I really would prefer to marry Rachel, and the parents say, no, we want you to marry Leah. So, okay, so he goes tonight on a double date, he takes out Rachel and Leah together, and he proposes to Leah instead of to Rachel. Sure. He wants to propose to Rachel, and the mother says, no, propose to Leah. Fine. But usually that's not the way it goes. That's not a double date. He doesn't take out two girls, and if he doesn't marry this one, he'll marry the other one. No. The parents say they don't want him to marry these girls, so it's going to take him another 6 months until he meets the right girl, until he warms up to that girl, until they decide to get married. So they're postponing his ability to fulfill the mitzvah of getting married and raising a family for another 6 months. So that's based on the pasuk Yishim Rav Tirosh, Apsayshu Tishmeru, that the dinam of Kibbut Av only apply when it's not in conflict with observance of the mitzvah Sater. But if the parents ask the child for a cup of tea on Shabbos, and the only way to give them a cup of tea is by being Mechal Shabbos, so then the halacha says, Esh Apsayshu Tishmeru. There's no din of Kovid Abrius to any human being if it's in conflict with the laws of the Torah. There's no din of Kvod HaMelech. The Gemara says the din of Kvod HaMelech doesn't apply if the Melech calls upon the people to do an Avera. There's no din of Kvod Abrius to any human being if it's going to involve an Avera. That's where Rashi writes over here. Tovi Avicha Chayobim V'Chvodi. That's the implication of the post. That's why it's in one post. Ishim V'Yavati Rao, but on the condition that Shapsoi said Tishmaru. So the Vilna Gaon writes, that's one explanation that the post can give for this din. Why the children don't have to listen to the parents if it's a good shidduch. It is a good shidduch. But the parents want Mishum Kibbut Av, you shouldn't listen. So then the din of Kibbut Av doesn't apply because they're preventing him from fulfilling the mitzvah. They're telling him he should wait till he meets another girl, another couple of months. So he's not supposed to do that. The second explanation that the Vilna Gaon gives is that the din of Kibbut Av only applies if the parents ask you to service them. Machil, Mashke, Manil, Motzi, Machnis, and so on. The parents are telling me they want me to become a doctor. I say, I don't want to become a doctor, I want to become a lawyer. No, my mother wants to be able to beg my son a doctor. She doesn't want me to become a rabbi. So the parents have no right to control the children's lives. My mother's going to tell me where I should live. But I don't want to live there. I want to live in Texas. I don't want to live in California. She tells me she's going to chart out my whole life for me. So that's not proper. That's not included in Kibbut Av. That's a Rashba and Yibam. Rashba quotes the Rishonim like that. That Kibbut Av only means servicing the parents. And Stam, the parents are going to tell me whom I should marry. They have no right to expect of me. They have no right to run my life. That's not included in Kibbut Av. Some question maybe should be included in Mora. That it says, Eina Soyser es Dvarav. Since the parents didn't want me to marry that girl and I don't listen, maybe that's a violation of Mora. The Pashta says that it's not Mora, because they have no right to express an opinion on whom I should marry. They have a right to express an opinion, to discuss it intelligently, to try to guide. The parents have an obligation to guide their children. The mitzvah of chinuch doesn't terminate when the children reach bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah. That's when the mitzvah esh begins, that the parents should give more input. They should try to be mechanech the children more. And when it's time to get married, they should try to help them get married properly. You should help them marry properly. But when it comes bottom line, and the child picked a nice person as a spouse, and the parents are not happy with their choice, so strictly speaking, most of the poskim say that that's not included in Kibbut Av, because the parents have no right to express an opinion. Then the Vilna Gaon quotes the third reason that the poskim give, why there's no din of Kibbut Av. He says, because Kibbut Av is mishalav, but no mishal bein. His halacha says that my father wants to have this trip to Eretz Yisrael, so he tells me I should arrange for it, and he's hinting I should pay for the ticket. And I say, yeah, give me your credit card and I'll be happy to arrange everything for you. So the halacha says, if my father has the money, I'm not mechuyev to spend the money. Kibbut Av mishalav, velo mishal bein. So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Rishonim, if the son is not mechuyev to spend money from his pockets, and certainly more so, he's not obligated to be brokenhearted. He fell in love with this girl, and is chalashing to marry this girl. Now the parents are going to break his heart, and they tell him, we want you to marry someone else. There's a limit how far you mechuyev to go Kibbut Av. I remember there was once a boy in the shia. There were a bunch of brothers in the family. So the first one got married, the second one got married, and then the third one was a soifer. He told me he got an offer, a single guy got an offer to go up to North Africa. I forgot anything, where? So some place in North Africa to check the sefer Torah, and they were going to pay him a fortune of money. But it feels bad, who's going to take care of his mother? His mother had a serious disease. And she had Lou Gehrig's disease. And who's going to take care of the mother? So I said, What do you mean, who's going to... His father was alive. They were brothers, they lived their own. Married brothers lived their own. So I said, what do you mean, who's going to take care? What's going to be? You're not going to get married? So he says, no, by the time he gets married, his mother will not be alive anymore. I think she's still alive. Because at that time, the life expectancy for this disease was much shorter. And then they discovered, so they developed some new, not a cure, some new medication that extends the life. So he postponed his marriage a couple of years because of Kibbutz, because he wanted to service the mother. The din doesn't require, someone has to take care of the mother, but the din doesn't require that I should give up my whole life to take care of the parents. Someone's going to have to take care of the parents. You don't let them die. But it doesn't mean that children have to give back everything. HaKaras HaTev doesn't require you give back the whole $1,000 gift. That's not HaKaras HaTev. Just undid the whole table. HaKaras HaTev. Okay, a little bit. Despite the fact that the parents gave everything. They gave their lives for the children when they were little children, till 10 or 15 years old. But the children are not mechayev to give away everything in their lives for the parents. They're not mechayev. If it's too difficult, it's not mechayev. So if, let's say this is unreasonable. The couple gets married, they move to California, and the wife's mother calls up, could you please come and help me go shopping or something? So that's unreasonable. She should travel all the way from California to New York in order to help the mother out. So that's what Tosfos says, the Parsha Pshat. Ish sipik biyadai, ish ein sipik biyadai, ish sipik biyadai. Usually the boy goes into the business with the father. He lives in the same community where the parents live, sometimes in the same house, in the same apartment. They move in the same apartment years ago. So the son is near his parents, so it's reasonable to expect that he should help out the parents. Isha ain't sipik biyadai, because she's married, she has obligations to the husband and to the family. This will disrupt the whole ability of the whole family to function normally. Once in a while, it's understood. Let's say the parents are taka sick, they're old and feeble, and the wife has to taka travel from California to New York to help take care of the parents. Once in a while, it is reasonable. But all the time, the wife should be running, even if the husband is rolling in money. Everybody's rolling in money. But the wife should always leave the husband and leave the children, leave the husband and not take care. So that's not right. In each case, you have to judge. Is it within reason or is it unreasonable? So that's the Pashup Shad. Ish sipik biyada, isha ain't sipik biyada. It doesn't necessarily mean, so Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he assumes la locha, the din is, whenever there's a conflict between kibud aviyem and kvod habal, so kvod habal takes precedence over kibud aviyem. There's a tshuva that many have psaked, that many people have misused. That as a shaila, a man is being honored in the annual dinner, and his wife is in avelus, so she's not allowed to go to any annual dinners. It's a social function. But if the wife is not going to show up when they honor the husband, so half of the people will realize that she's in avelus. The other half of the people will think that they don't get along. So the husband pleads with his wife, you have to come, they're honoring me. How can I sit there without my wife? They're going to think that I'm holding by getting divorced, that we don't get along. So the Shabbos, but she's not allowed to go. It's a violation of Avelus. So Rav Moshe has two chidushim. Chidush number one, he says, is that the observance of Avelus for Yud Beis Chodesh after the Shloshim is up is only for parents. For other relatives, it doesn't apply. So the explanation that's given in Shulchan Aruch is that that's because of Kibud Aviyeh. Really, the Avelim are more heartbroken when they lose a child or they lose a spouse than when they lose the parents. Noik Shabbalim, the parents are 20, 30 years older than the children, so the parents pass away. So it's normal. So why should there be more avelus for the parents than there is? A person loses a child, he never forgets about that. A person loses a spouse, they also never forget about that. Many times they never get over that. Lose the parents, most people, most normal, healthy people do overcome that difficulty. And nonetheless, the din is fakir, that there's a longer observance of avelus for the parents than for the children. So the answer is, that's what the Shach quotes from the Rishon. The answer is, Avelus is the same for everybody, Shiva and Shlosh. The Yud Beis Chodesh is thrown in out of Kibud Aviyeh. So Rav Moshe assumes Chiddush number one, that the Avelus, Yud Beis Chodesh is Kibud Aviyeh, doesn't mean that because of this consideration, that's why the Chachamim introduced Avelus. No, he says that it's only a mitzvah of Kibud Aviyeh. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Kibud Aviyeh. Not that that's the motivation for the Chachamim to introduce a longer period of Avelus. It's not Avelus. The Avelus is over after the Shloshim. And the Nihug, the observance of Yud Beis Chodesh, is a different din of Kibud Aviyeh. So Chiddush number one. Then he seems to be implying like that. The Chiddush number two, he assumes that whenever there's a conflict He understands that that's the din aviyim. Whenever there's a conflict between kvod habaal and kibud aviyim, so kvod habaal takes precedence. Since the husband feels so uncomfortable, how can he go without his wife? They're gonna start rumors that he doesn't get along with his wife, and they're hoping by getting divorced. So since this is going to affect negatively the kvod habaal, so the kvod habaal is deicher the din of kibud aviyim. The pashtus. Tosfos doesn't seem to learn like that. Tosfos seems to say, each sipik biyada means that the husband lives in the same community where the parents live, and each ain't sipik biyada because they live in a different community. It's not that the kvod habaal takes precedence over the kibud aviyim. It's rather that it's unreasonable to expect of the wife that she should travel to the other side of the world. And who are the nami if the boy's parents live in California and the girl's parents live in New York and the couple lives in Eretz Yisrael? So both of them would be potter from the kibud aviyim. What, they expect to come back? Every time his father or her father needs a little assistance, it's unreasonable that they should come back to New York. If it's taka something serious and they need a surgery and they need someone to be with them, to comfort them and so on. Okay, so that's expected. People do fly from one part of the world to the other to help their parents. That's reasonable. But if it's something that's unreasonable, that's like mishalav, alo mishal bein. Mishalav, alo mishal bein means that there's a limit to how much you're obligated to express the hakoras atay. You're not mechuyev to give back the whole taiva. You're not mechuyev to do exactly the same as the parents did for you. Maybe it's a nice thing to do, but one is not mechuyev to do. It's a very neglected mitzvah, the kibud aviyim. The Gemara quotes, Abaye was an orphan. His father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth. So Abaye made a kahal, and he was brought up by his uncle, by Rabbi Banachmeni. Some of the Rishonim say that the name Abaye is a Rashi Teiras Hashem B'chol Yerucham Yosam, because he was a Yosam. But whether it is or not, we know he was a Yosam. The Gemara says he had no parents. So he makes a comment, a very strange comment, says he's fortunate that he had no parents. He didn't have the Nisoyan to observe the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim. It's so difficult. Most people really don't observe it properly. The Gemara in the end of Masechus Shabbos has a comment on the pasuk here, Atifnu Elhu Elilim. The comment should have really been quoted in Yeridei and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, but because it appears in the end of Masechus Shabbos, in the middle of all other Hilchos Shabbos, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch quoted it in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, in the same context that it appears in the Gemara. The Gemara has, that's why it's very hard to find anything in Shulchan Aruch. The things are not necessarily organized in the logical order. Usually Hilchos Shabbos is over here. Once in a while you find Hilchos Shabbos somewhere else, and Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam has things much better organized. The Pella, anyway, so the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch have this thing, Aftifnu Elhu Elilim, what is not permitted to display any interest in any other religions? HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself in his Chumash as a Kel Kano, as a jealous God. Means like a jealous, sometimes you have a couple who are married, and one of the spouses is very jealous. He's very upset when his wife carries on a conversation with other men. Or the wife is very upset when her husband carries on long conversations with other good-looking women, usually good-looking women. Yeah. So sometimes it's reasonable, sometimes it's unreasonable. But that's a jealous lover. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as a Kel Kano. He's a very jealous God. He doesn't want us to display any interest in any other desire. That's our guy's going to take a course in comparative religion. So that's exactly what's prohibited. You're not allowed to, unless it's l'hoven l'horos, unless the person feels as in his, you know, on an individual basis, if this person is going to become a prominent rabbi, he's going to have to work on relations with other religions, with interfaith relations, so he has to study comparative religion. But just to take a course in comparative religion, not thinking that you're going to go into that field, it's not allowed. Al-Tifnul al-Halulim means you're not allowed to turn to the Avodah Zarah, not only not to worship it, just to study, to find out what it's all about. That's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah in the first parak, that Yisrael Shebuchutz Lord, the Jews who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, are all of the Avodah Zarah b'taharahed. They all worship Avodah Zarah without even realizing it. B'tahara. What b'tahara? Everybody reads the newspaper, and if you don't read the newspaper, the next door neighbor tells you what it says in the newspaper. So the newspaper always has all the descriptions, what's going on December 25th and January 1st, and what's going on this season of the year, Easter, And all the Abodah Zarah, everything is written up in a newspaper. People watch television, so they always show on the television funerals that take place in the churches. So people are always, the Jews are always watching what's happening in the churches and everything. That's what the Gemara says, the social b'chutzlo, it's of the Abodah Zarah b'taharahein. I remember when Kennedy, used to be a president of the United States, I was going to President Kennedy, somewhere before you were born, I don't know. Well, President Kennedy was assassinated, so they had the funeral in a church. So everybody was watching the funeral procession. So Rav Soloveitchik was so upset, he says, it's mamash and isa, like going into the church. When they show it on television, he said, it's the same isa as going into a church, and it was a religious ceremony. A funeral that takes place in a church is a religious ceremony. So he said that since the goyim have paskind in their religion that you can be yotzei neas by television, even if you don't go in person, it means if the guy, if the Ovid Avodizar sits here and he watches this show on television, according to their religion, he's participating in their religion. So if a Jew sits here and he watches this church service, the Jew is participating in Avodizar. So he said, it's the Zelbisa, it's the same Aver as going into the church and participating. He said, you're not allowed to watch television when they're showing a church service, a religious service. That's the prohibition. Al Tif Noel Halevi. The more talks about not looking, the more in the end of Masech Shabbos, says you're not allowed to study. You're not allowed to study art, religious art of other religions. Let's say they have a painting of the Last Supper with the Oisahoish, with the students eating the Korban Pesach, whatever it is there. So you're not allowed to study of the Mother Mary or all the religious things. It's not because it's Asa Bahanor. The thing is not Asa Bahanor. But is that Asa Bahanor means the actual idol that they actually worship. That's Asa Bahanor. But these religious paintings, these are not Asa Bahanor. A guy can be in the business and sell. If you make money by it, it doesn't end. You're allowed to be in the business and sell these religious items to those of that religion who are interested in them. But you're not allowed to display any interest in it, to study it, in order to look at the facial expressions and so on. That's awesome. You're not allowed to study religious art. That's half of the art that they teach in any given art course. Half of the art is religious art. The other half is Gilead Rice. Yeah, but it's around Gilead Rice. Sukkim, as I mentioned before, have a blend of mitzvah shebin adam lachaver and mitzvah shebin adam lamok, and keeps on going back and forth. Al pidin, there is a difference between the two. It's not that the mitzvah shebin adam lachaver are less serious than the mitzvah shebin adam lamok, and we have certain differences between them that give the mistaken impression as if it's more kal. Take, for example, the din is that essay, doicha loisa essay, and mitzvah sesei is decha, mitzvah sloisei sesei. In some rare cases, it doesn't come up so often. There's so many requirements and conditions that it hardly ever comes up. But there is on the books, there is such a rule. So the Gemara has an expression in Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Aleph, I think, midachina nisura mikami mamoino. That esei decha loisei sesei is only if it's an esei shebir adam lamokan. If it's an esei shebir adam lachaver, it's not decha loisei sesei. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say I'm a Kohen and I'm not permitted to go into a cemetery. And the fellow in front of me is driving his car on the highway, and I see that his valise fell off of the top of the car, and he didn't realize it, and he keeps on driving ahead. I keep on honking my horn, and he doesn't hear. The valise fell off, and it fell into the cemetery. And I know his license, let's say, I know who it is. Is there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Call him up on the cell phone. Drive up to him and tell him you lost your thing. It's 20 miles behind in the cemetery over there. But I'm afraid if I'll drive up, he's going so fast. If I'll chase after him to catch him, so someone else may come with this valise that's in the cemetery. For the sake of Hashavas Aveda, Seichel dictates that I should stop at the cemetery, pick it up, and deliver it to him. But I'm a Kohen, so would you say Esed Decha Lo Isese that Hashavas Aveda is Decha Lo Isese of Tumas Kohanim? So the Gemara says wrong on two accounts. Mar says, number one, Tumas Kohanim is an essay Vilois essay. The next we said it. In Emor, it says, the Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamei Lemeisin. And then it says, Nevj Leitama Biyama, but then it says, Kedosh Miyu Lo Lekeyem, I think. So the Gemara understands that a kohen who violates any of these prohibitions, a kohen who shaves with a razor, also the same thing. Any kohen who violates any of these prohibitions, the beginning of Parshas and more, is not only a violation of the essay, of the lois essay, of Nefesh Leitama Biyama, he's also a violation of the essay of Kedoshim Yil Alekeim, the Pasuk Vav. So it's an essay, the lois essay, and ain't essay dacha lois essay the essay. That's one reason the Gemara gives. And the Gemara gives another reason. The essay of Ashabas Aveda is only an essay. That's how Gemara uses the expression. It's only an essay. Should be not a Mahavero. An essay Shemran Mahavero doesn't have a power to be Doicha Alois Essay. So you get the mistaken impression as if, yeah, the rabbis assume it's only an essay Shemran Mahavero. It's on a lower level. So since it's on a lower level, it's like a half a mitzvah, semi mitzvah. It doesn't have the full status of a full mitzvah. So that's why it doesn't have the power to be Doicha Alois Essay. So the Ramban and the Chidushim there explains that that's not what it means. It does mean that mitzvah should be not a machaveiro, a less obligatory, less binding than mitzvah, less serious than mitzvah should be not a machaveiro. He says the yisoy, the basis of all of the mitzvah should be not a machaveiro, is based on the pasuk that appears in the Chumash. We have to l'reacha kamoicha. Believe it or not, that's in the Old Testament. Somehow the Christians forgot about that. They think it's only in the Gospels. They don't realize that's a pasuk in the Bible. It's in our Bible. So after Rachel Kamarcha, they think that they brought the concept of love to the world. After love your neighbor, it's a pasuk in Chumash, Parashas Kedosh. So the Ramban explains, what does it mean after Rachel Kamarcha? It doesn't really mean love. It doesn't really mean an emotional feeling. It's hard to develop an emotional feeling for other people. A person will be happy if he loves his wife, if he has a good relationship with his wife and his children. To expect that after Rachim I should love everybody is very hard. It means you should do pu'ulois. That's also Ramban has like that. Ramban says, why is it you have to eis Hashem alakecha? How come those of you have to la Hashem alakecha? Here it says you have to lireyacha. How come those of you have to esreyacha kamoicha? So he says there's a difference. He says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to eis Hashem alakecha means that's a mitzvah shebeleiv. That's when the chayv is all love. You have to have a feeling of love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After lireyacha kamoicha means you should do pu'ulois. You should do proper activities or refrain from doing certain activities which the other person would want you or not want you to do. You should treat others the way you would want others to treat you. You wouldn't want others to ba'avel you, so don't ba'avel him. You want other people to help you out, so you have to help the other person out also. And Ramban claims that that's the difference in diktuk between the two. We have to lireyacha just means that we are required to have these pehulos, to do the correct actions for the others. And not to do certain activities. When you have to eis Hashem lakecha, means you should develop a sense of ahava. So the Ramban explains in his commentary, that's on Chumash. The Ramban and the Gemara explains that all of the mitzvahs should be not al-machaveira are basically rooted in this pasuk, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. You have to treat other people's needs as if they would have been your needs. If I would have needed a little assistance, if my valise would have fallen off on top of my car, I would have appreciated very much that the guy behind me should give me back my valise. Not a coin. He's not a coin. So if I'm not a coin and I see the other guy's valise fell off, so I have to do for him what I would have wanted other people to do for me. And I would not, whatever I would not want other people to do to me, I would not want, I'm obligated not to do that to other people as well. That's all included in the Mehafta Racha Kamarcha. So the Ramban says, let's say I'm a coin. And my valise fell off of my car, and I saw it. My valise rolled into the cemetery. So am I permitted to be metamel mason in order to take care of my own aveda? Of course not. Where's the esek echaloy sesek? So he says the whole nature of the mitzvah of hashavas aveda merely means that I have to treat other people's needs as if they were my own needs. So it's my need. So I consider as if it's my aveda. No, my aveda, there's no hetter for me to be metamel mason. There's no hetter for me to take care of my own needs, unless I have suffic pikuach nefesh. But anything less than that, there's no hetter for me, in order to take care of my own needs, to violate any of the mitzvahs atar. So there's no hetter to take care of other people's needs. In order to take care of other people's needs, no hetter to violate any of the mitzvahs atar. But it doesn't mean, it's not that the Gemara meant to imply that it's a lower level of seriousness. No. Same level of seriousness as the mitzvah shebenodem la'malkam, but the nature of the mitzvah is different. The Torah says I have to treat other people's needs as if they would have been my own needs. Sure. So my own needs I have to take care of. That's why the Gemara has a din. Let's say it's a zaken veina l'shich voida. Let's say I'm walking in the street, a rabbi with a long beard and so on, And he's walking in the street, he finds some woman's underwear. So if it would have been his own wife's underwear, let's say he doesn't have a pocket to put it in. So what, he's going to walk around like this in the street? If it would have been his own aveda, he wouldn't take care of it, if it's an embarrassment to him. So if it's someone else's aveda, he's not mechuyev to take care. If I wouldn't take care of it, it would have been my own aveda, so I'm not mechuyev to take care of it if it's someone else's aveda. That's the whole yisoid adinim, zoken bein elefichoid. I'm not mechuyev to do for others to a greater extent than what I would do for myself. If I wouldn't do it, if it would have been my own, then I'm not mechuyev to do it for other people as well. The Gemara has another difference. There are several differences between fundamental differences between bin Adam l'chaber, bin Adam l'mach. The Gemara has another difference with respect to Kavod Abriyas. We have an institution of Kavod Abriyas that's based on the pasuk Lo Yitama. We discussed it already in the early parts of the year in Parshas Emor. Next week's Seder says the Kavod are not permitted to be metal mason unless it's one of the seven relatives. Then it says if it's the sister who died, Lo Yitama. So this is Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether Lo Yitama is a reshus, he's permitted to attend the funeral, or he's obligated. The Gemara says, we paskin like Rabbi Kiva already, this man by Sheni, it was a dispute, and it was always get paskin like Rabbi Kiva. The Machlokes repeated itself generation after generation. In every generation it was accepted like Rabbi Akiva's idea. Lo Yitama is a chayva. And if the Kohen doesn't want to participate in the funeral of any one of the Zion Kraivim, so Metamanos Balkor, you force him to participate. So what is the Yisayid HaDin of Lo Yitama? This is the marker of the institution of Kavod Abriyas. The Kavod Abriyas is Deiche the Isser of Tumas Kohanim. And Ruah Denami is Deiche other dinim as well. So the Gemara says the Isser Tumas Kohanim is a weaker Isser. It's an Isser Sheinu Shavu Bakol. Usually Kavod Abriyas is not Deiche and Isser Derais. Usually it's only Deiche Derabbanan. Usually it's not Deiche Derais. So the Gemara says though, but in a mitzvah shebin adam l'chaveiro, so then Kavod Abriyas is doicha. Kavod Abriyas is doicha. Let's say the zoken beino lefi chvodo. It'll be an embarrassment for me to go pick up the woman's underwear and to start ringing all the bells with all single girls or something in a building. So I'm going to ring everyone's bell. I ask, is this your underwear? If I leave the underwear there in the laundry room, so Mustama, one of the goyim will take it. And if I'll pick it up and I'm going to start, so if my wife is home, I'll give it to my wife, give it to my daughters, so let them ring all the bells. My wife and my daughters are in Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm going to go ring all the bells, it's going to be an embarrassment. So that's a shaila. Is it really that embarrassing? Maybe I should hold it in a bag and give it to the girls and ask them, please find out whose underwear this is. Okay, maybe I can avoid the embarrassment. But if it's a case where there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah without doing an embarrassment, so then Halacha says the person is not mechuyev to do it. Yet also the Ramban says the same reason why. The Gemara says the rule is called Shabishalo Eino Meshiv. Shalchaveir Eino Machzeh. He wouldn't have, if it would have been his own Aveda. Let's say the underwear is worth $10. If it would have been his own Aveda, he wouldn't be willing to save the $10 by humiliating himself. He wouldn't want to humiliate himself, even though he knows that by being makbed on his kavod he's going to lose the $10. He's not mechuyev to do the hashavas aveda for the other person either. So it's not, again, it's not because the mitzvah should be not a machaveira on a lower level of severity. The nature of the mitzvah is different. You're only mechuyev to do to take care of other people's needs, considering it as if it would have been your own need. No, if it would have been my own need, would I have taken care of it or not? I'm not mechuyev to take care of other people's needs more than I would normally have taken care of my own needs. Unless I don't have so many needs, a different story. Let's say some people have a greater appetite than others. So some people always, let's say a guy always fasting Taneisim, he fasts every Monday and Thursday, he's always fasting, and then when he does eat, he doesn't eat so much. So if there's someone, a normal person who doesn't fast Taneisim, he eats three meals a day, normal healthy, he doesn't overeat, he has things for an adobe, so I'll only give him so much to eat one meal every day, 5 days a week, minus Monday and Thursday. That's not right. If I would have been a normal guy, I would have eaten three meals a day, 7 days a week. You have to give the other guy offer. It's not based on my mishigas. I'm unmuchiv to take care of other people to the same extent I would take care of myself. No, I have a quirk. If the other guy's normal, so I have to take care of him to the same extent I would have taken care of myself if I would have been a normal guy. Anyway, you have this blend of psukim. psukim go in and out with bin adam lachavera, bin adam lamachim. Then you have the din of v'tnei yiver lo sitein nichshol. Moshe Feinstein claims that that's both bin adam lachavera and bin adam lamachim. He has an interesting tshuva. V'tnei yiver lo sitein nichshol, al pi pashtus, is bin adam lachavera. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind man. He shouldn't trip. Or let's say there's something that's treif. So I'm going to feed a Jewish person non-kosher food. If he would have known that it's non-kosher food, he would not want to eat this food. Let's say it's even only prohibited midirabbanan. This is a discussion in Rishonim. The Minchas Chinuch is famous for this topic. Let's say I have basa b'chol of the rabbanan. I have chicken that was cooked in milk by mistake. So if I'll give this to a religious Jew to eat, and he won't realize that I'm giving him non-kosher food, the whole avera that he's only violating is only an avera de rabbanan, basa b'chol de rabbanan. But my avera that I give him this non-kosher food may well be an avera de raisa. If he would have known that it's non-kosher, he would never want to eat the non-kosher food. So my lifnei could be that it's an avera de raisa, despite the fact that the whole avera that he's violating is only an avera de rabbanan, because that's the pshutu shel mikra. Lifnei yiver lo sitein nichshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of someone. Let's say if I put a stumbling block and the guy trips, the blind man trips. So what, there's no avera there, I said, there's no avera there, but the blind man didn't do any avera. I was machshel the person, something that I would have not wanted people to do that to me, so I'm not allowed to do it to other people. So the same thing, to give non-kosher food, even if the non-kosher food is only midirabbanan, could well be that the violation of lifnei is an avera there, I said, because that's the bin adam machaveri. You're not allowed to do things to others that you wouldn't want other people to do to you. And then there's another aspect Rav Moshe points out to lifnei. No, the other guy's not blind. He knows that it's tray. He wants to buy the tray for food. He wants to violate the avir. He's not religious. I have a liquor shop and a nazir comes in with the long hair. Hair for the customers in the liquor shop have long hair. They all look like nazir and they all want wine. So I'm not allowed to sell him wine. If he's really a nazir, I'm not allowed to sell him. I'm not allowed to sell any wine unless he's giving it as a gift to someone else. Look about him up. But if he's half drunk as it is, and it's pretty obvious that he wants to drink the wine, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to sell the yayin to a nazir, or you're not allowed to, let's say, give even menachai to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to help the person do the avera. That's not an aver benon machaver. The guy wants to do it, so how can you say that it's an aver benon machaver? You're not ba'avling him. So the pashtus is that's an aver benon machaver. We shouldn't participate in any averes. You should avoid participation in any avers. These mitzvahs, Shebirot HaMachavero, sometimes apply only to Jews, and sometimes apply even with respect to non-Jews as well. Alpi Pashtus, we generally, there are always exceptions to it, we generally distinguish between a mitzvah sesei as opposed to a mitzvah loy sesei. Let's say a chovo b'chavero, loy sirtzof, you're not allowed to kill someone else. Reasonable. You wouldn't want anybody to kill you. So you're not allowed to kill other people as well. The chiddush of lo sirtzach, even if the guy's pleading with the Mishnah happens to say, one who kills a non-Jew doesn't get the death penalty. The Yoinish is not the same. But the Isser is still an Isser of lo sirtzach or lo yosef pen yosef. You're not allowed to harm another person. You're not allowed to beat someone up. The same mitzvah applies to harm a Jew or to harm a non-Jew. The same avera. The prohibitions, the surah midonim avera, apply equally to non-Jews as to Jews, generally speaking. Once in a while, there's an exception to the rule, but the mitzvah says shemidonim avera to do ashavas aveda, to give a halvah, gemilas chesed, to go mimenachem chole, to go mimenachem avel, and so on, to go out of your way to be kind to other people. So that basically is only between Yisraelim. I'm mechuyev to do for others who I'm mechuyev to return back the Torah to me. The Nochem are not mechuyev to do this to me. So I'm not mechuyev to do to them, because this is not from the listing of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nerech, that they would be mechuyev to reciprocate. The Mitzvahs are only obligatory if there's a reciprocity. I'm mechuyev to do for others who are in turn mechuyev to do back for me. So the Nochem are not mechuyev to do back for me, so I'm not mechuyev to do for them in the first place. But the mitzvahs lo sesei are not based on the yisoid of the mitzvahs lo sesei shenon mahavera. It's not based on if there's a reciprocity. I'm mechuyev to do for others who are in turn mechuyev to do back for me. So the Nochem are not mechayiv to do back for me, so I'm not mechayiv to do for them in the first place. But the mitzvahs leisesei are not based on the yisayid of the mitzvahs leisesei shalom mahavera. It's not based on reciprocity. Whatever you would want other people should not do to you, you're not allowed to do to them. So you're not allowed to start off with the Nochem. Once in a while, there's an exception to the rule. Like, laseilach rochel be'amach, you're not allowed to talk rechilis. So not allowed to talk rechilis is a leisesei. So based on the klal, it should have applied equally, not to talk rechilis or not to speak lashon hara. It's also derived from the same posting. Laseilach rochel be'amach. Should have applied equally whether one is speaking lashon hara against the Yisrael or an Akum. So that's what the pasuk says. No, be'amach. There's a heter that the prohibition of speaking lashon hara doesn't apply if the lashon hara is spoken about a nochri or about a Jew who's so far gone. He's such an apikaris dina ka'akum. He's also not called amecha. Amecha means ba'isa ma'isa amcha. If it's Yisrael, ain't ba'isa ma'isa amcha. There's no prohibition of speaking lashon hara. Yeah, why? It means because the isa lashon hara is as a form of chayvo b'chaveiro, because you may cause him harm in the long run. Are you going to say rechilus about him? So you may indirect. Sometimes you say lashon hara, you just destroy the guy's marriage. You ruin his whole business. So the pashta says that such a lashon hara is not permitted even against the nachri, even against the nachri. You're not allowed to kill him. You're not allowed to ruin his marriage. So you're not allowed to talk lashon hara like that. But the kind of lashon hara that we say, ah, the guy's a crook. I will never go shopping by him. So he won't make $2 on you. He's going to make a good living anyway. Or you're not going to be mechabin him. So you get covered from other people anyway. Usually when you speak lashon, many cases when you speak lashon hara, he was about someone else. It doesn't really destroy the other guy. It takes away slightly from the covet or from the big fat parnasa that he would have made. He makes a dollar less than parnasa. It doesn't really affect them that much. Now, let's say someone asked me about someone in my class. I said, the guy's stupid. So he may not get a shidduch. The guy's going to get married anyway, the stupid. I said, the guy's stupid. He doesn't dress properly, whatever. So this girl is not going to marry him. He's going to marry someone else anyway. It's not going to really affect the whole future of his life. So the Torah prohibits us from talking lashon hara because we're causing harm to the other person. But it's usually a dakas dika harm. If it's really an obvious form of a harm, so it's also even al pipasha, also even keneged the nachrim, or even keneged the one who's ain't oisa maisam. But if it's a dakas dika isa chayv lamazik, so that's where the pasuk limits it. That it's only biyamecha. It doesn't apply to the nachrim. Why is it such an insistence on B'nai Yisrael should be even that Dakas Dika Lashon Hara is also not allowed? If it's really barely going to affect him, he's hardly even going to be affected. But the pasuk says, L'sikam L'sikter as B'nai Amecha. That Nikam and Netira is not allowed. What is Nikam and Netira all about? So the Talmud Yerushalmi has an interesting moshel. If a person is, has a big challah knife and he's cutting challah, and accidentally he cuts his finger. With the right hand, he nicked his finger a little bit, starts to bleed. So will the left hand take the nekama from the right hand and slap the right hand? It's the same body. It's the two parts of the same body. So the Rishami says, just like it doesn't make sense that one organ should take the nekama from another organ, because it's all part of the same. They're all parts of the same organism. So too, Klal Yisrael should realize that they're one big organism. So you're not permitted to take the Nekama and the Tir against another Jew. So that's why the Torah is so makbid, not to make a hezek for a stranger. So that's not allowed. Even if the stranger is a Nachri, you're not allowed to make a hezek. But this Dakas Dika hezek of Lashon Hara, Dakas Dika Lashon Hara, Rechid, it's not really going to be a major hefset. So that the Torah restricts, it's only L'selech Rochel Be'amecho. If the other party is a Nachri, or a Yisrael Sheinois and by Samcha, there's no prohibition. So why is it prohibited if he's a Yisrael? So that's based on this idea that B'nai Yisrael have to act as if they're one organism together. That's the idea of calling Yisrael Arevim Zebizez. See, there's a din of Arevis. Anorah means a cosigner, strictly speaking. The Loiva wants to borrow money from the Malva, and a Loiva is a poor man, by definition. That's why he's borrowing money from the Malva. So the Malva's afraid, I'm going to lend him money. He's never going to pay it back. He's borrowing $1,000 to pay up $100,000 debt that he owes to everybody in the world. I'm never going to get back the money. So let's say the Malbe doesn't want to lend him the money unless someone else co-signs, unless you have an Orev. So the Orev doesn't become united with the Loiva. The Arab is a cosign, and he said, if the Loiva doesn't pay, I'll make good, so I pay the money. He said, Kodesh Arabim Zebizeh means more than Stam Arabis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish me if he doesn't take care of his mitzvahs. If I allow him, if I see him doing Averis, if I see that he's not doing mitzvahs, Yesh Tzipik Biyada, Yesh Tzipik Limchas Biyada, if I have the ability, the Gemara said, if I don't have the ability to be Moicha Biyada, look, there are Jews all over the world who are doing Averis, Jews in New Zealand, Jews in South Africa doing Averis, I'm going to be punished because they're doing Averis. Can't be. The Gemara says, it's only if there's Tzipik Biyada to give Machor, to do something about it. So we shouldn't think that Kodisol HaRevim Zebezeh just means he's like an Arab, like a cosigner, a stranger, who's held responsible for someone else. No, it's more than that. It's supposed to, the Reisol are supposed to consider themselves as if there's one big organism. Now, Locha says that the Baal Tekeya, who's Motzi V'Tzibur, has to be a Bar Chiyuva. Nisheini B'chui B'dovor, and Emotzi HaSarabi M'dei Chavosin. I remember a woman was once crying to me. A neurotic woman. She was so disturbed. Why can't she be the Baal Tekeya and Shul? I explained to her. Why do we treat the women on such a low madriga? The woman can't be a Baal Tekeya and Shul. The prince, you didn't know how to blow Shefer, just the principal hurt her so much. So I said, the rule is only one can be Motzi others if he's Mechuyi B'Dov, not Mechuyi B'Dov can be Motzi. No, we're discriminating against the women. If she would have cried that we're discriminating against men, why the women are parted from Tekeya Shefer? I don't understand why she's crying. No, that somehow, she's not crying about that. Somehow, someone explained that to her. The women are part of mitzvah and she's not wrong. What bothered her was why she can't be the Baal Tekeya. What is it? That's the rule. The only one who can be Motzi Achem Dechavasin is one of Mechuyi B'Dovah. You're not Mechuyi B'Dovah, so you can't be Motzi the others. I don't know what's so difficult about that. So if the best Baal Tekeya in the shul is a woman, the best Baal Tekeya is a Nachri, or a Cheri Shaita the Cotton, we're not saying that the women are like Shaitan. The women are hechwitz. We're saying the women are like nachrim. We're saying they're all in the same boat. And not mechuyi b'dov, Hashem, what's so difficult? We're not comparing one to the other. Whoever is not mechuyi b'dov, you can't be motzi yisaram dechavos. So the problem is, but we do it all the time. The Baal Tekeya blows in shul and everybody's yotze. He goes home and he eats his meal. Then he goes to the hospital later. He blows again for the sick patients in the hospital in the old age home. He's not mechuyi b'dov anymore. So how is he motzi l'acherim? So the Gemara said, that's okay. The rule is yotze, motzi. And that Mishnah in the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has that formula. Yotza, despite the fact that he has already fulfilled the mitzvah of Tekeya Shofar, he's still called Mechuyi B'Dovor to the extent that he can Motzi Asachem Edecha Bosom. Why is that so? So Rashi writes, and all the Mishnah quoted from the Rashi. Rashi writes, and that is not because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. What does it mean Arevim Zeh B'Zeh? So it means more than Stam a cosigner, that I have to make good if he doesn't do the mitzvah. No, it means I'm called Mechuyi B'Dovor. As long as there's any Jew in any part of the world who hasn't yet fulfilled this mitzvah of Shofar, or Tzitzis, or Lulav, or whatever it happens to be, it means that I haven't completely fulfilled my mitzvah. I'm still Mechuyi B'Dovor. I'm still in it. Even though I blew Shofar, Lamahadrim, and Amahadrim, I wasn't fully Yotze. As long as there's another Jew in the world who wasn't Yotze yet, so I'm still Mechuyi because we're one organism. We're one organism. It's not Stam like an Orev who's a separate person from the Loiva. Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh means that it's one organism, and we're all still Mechuyi B'Dovor, as long as there's someone else. And if another person does an Avera, it's considered as if part of my organism is doing the Avera. Not just I'll be held responsible for his Averas. It's considered as if my left arm did the Averas, if my left toe did the Avera. I'm involved in the Avera. It means more. Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh means more than Stam, an Orev, like an Orev who's the co-signer for the Loiva. One of the many dinim, all variety of dinim, one of the many dinim in the parsha is Vasalim Pula Sachir Itcha Ad Boiker. Special din is a separate Chaloshem Tashlumin and Pula Sachir. The din of Vasalim Pula Sachir only applies to Schiris Poilim. Doesn't apply, let's say, to Dmei HaMekach, if I bought some merchandise. There's no halacha that says I have to hustle and pay up the money before the day is up. Or if I was mazik as chaber, I have to quickly run to the bank and pay him the money immediately. That's very nice, Midas Chassidus, to do that, to ask him for apology. But you're not muhiv to pay, there's no din of lason. Lason is a special din only by schiris poyalim. That's what Tosis points out. There's a Tosis becoming the kindest quotes, I demand the end of Bob Metzia. There's another special din that only applies to schiris poyalim. That if the worker insists that he wants to be paid in cash, you have to pay him in cash. Let's say someone fixed my washing machine. A religious Jew fixed my washing machine. And then he says, that'll be $180. So I say, oh, I don't have any cash, but I have a lot of svarim that I didn't sell. I have a lot of nefesh haram, I have a lot of other svarim. I have a lot of old svarim that I try to get rid of. I'll give you $180 worth of svarim. He says, no, thank you, I want cash. So the din says, I have to go to the bank and get him cash. The halacha says, if he insists that he wants cash, unless he insists that he wants cash in order that it should be off the books, he doesn't want to pay taxes. That's criminal. So now that's litvivalistitanichal. I'm not allowed to help him cheat the government. But if he wants cash because he wants to buy food for his children, what's he going to do with this farm? Find this farm are worth $100, $180, but he doesn't want to go waste time selling this one. So Rav Ocha says if he insists that he wants cash, you cannot pay Shavu Kesef, even though you don't have any cash. Rav Ocha says the employer can tell the boss, Zil Trachas Vin Vaisi Zuzi. You go work and get some money and you pay me cash. I insist I want to get paid in cash. There are other differences also between Tashlumi Schiris Poyalim as opposed to other Chiyuvim Momen. The Torah says you have to treat, you're not allowed to look down on the employee. It's not that the boss is the boss, employer, and he looks down at the employee. There are many rise from the Gemaras in Bava Metzia that it would appear that the Chiyuv Schiris Poyalim is not a Hischaivis Midas. It's not that in my kindness and my graciousness, I agreed to pay you a salary because you did the work for me. No, the halacha, the Torah imposes a chiyuv upon the person. We have to make up in advance how much the job is worth. But once we make up it's worth $180, it's not that the employee has to pay, it's not I have to pay the mechanic for fixing the automobile or for fixing the washing machine because I agreed it's a hischaivus midas. No, it's not a hischaivus midas. The Torah imposes the chiyuv. The halacha says that the boss has to pay the workers. It's a different attitude. It's a different outlook, how you look on the workers. The workers are not treated as if they're a lower class citizen. And out of the goodness of my heart, I have to pay them. The Torah has all these special schlusim. Biyoma titin skara, and you have to pay dafke kitch, special halachas. The Medrash has a fascinating comment on kisavoy al hort and a titan kolayt michael. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you'll plant trees, like the chalutzin, they went to Eretz Yisrael and they were planting trees. It was a joke. We were little children, so everybody was collecting money for the JNF and then planting trees in Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment on the Pasuk that it's a fulfillment of a halachta bedrochev to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Parshas Bereishis it says, Vayit Hashem Elokim ganen v'yeden mikedem. The first thing the Rabban Shalom did was that he planted a garden. He planted trees. So too Bnei Yisrael, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they have to plant trees. They have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Probably what it's driving at is that we should all be involved in development of the world and development of society to build up the world. There's a mitzvah. It's not just a gimmick, the way to make money, a way to get food to eat. If you don't plant, you won't have any apples. If you won't have any apples, you'll go hungry. Yeah, it's not just the hechetimza. No. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands men that we should improve the world. Pruvu milas oretz v'chiv shua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to develop the world, to go in His way, just like He's created, so He wants us all to be creative and productive and to do good things. And we shouldn't frown upon the farmers. They're going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayit Hashem Elokim gan liyedin mikedem. Even though the Pasuk says, Kisavoyer al ha'oretz, the Pasuk describes the laws of planting trees at the first 3 years at Sorla, and the next year is going to be Kerem Revai, or Netter Revai. Machlokes in the Gemara, whether the din of Revai, the fourth year, only applies to grapes, but applies to all trees. The Pashtus, most of the Rishonim assume that Orla, the first 3 years is Orla, applies to all kinds of, any tree that bears fruit. The fourth year, that's the Machloikis Satanai. That's Alpi Pashtus, that's the Machloikis Satanai. The Baal HaMor points out there's a Rashi, Baal HaMor quotes a Rashi in one place, that Rashi says that According to the Tana who holds that it's only the din of Ravai only applies to grapes. Even the din of Orla only applies to grapes. But that's really, Rashi inserted, that's really an obscure shita. The Pashtus is certainly not like Rashi. It says, when a titan collates Michael, any fruit-bearing tree, as a din of Orla, the fourth year is a machloikas satanoid. Is it only restricted to grapes, or does it apply to all fruit-bearing trees? And then the fifth year it says, Roshana Hamishis, the laws of Orla are over, the first 3 years finished. The fourth year, then at the Ravai, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, it's Kodesh. You have to either bring it to Yerushalayim and either take Kedusha V'Tahara or be poided and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy Nasata Baboka Batzona Bayayin HaMashiach. You have to buy some food and eat the food, Kedusha's Maisa Sheni. But the fifth year, everything is okay. Bashana Hamishis, Tochlo Aspiria, everything is Mutter and there are no problems whatsoever. That's a simple reading of the Pasuk. The fifth year, everything is Mutter. The Rambam quotes a psak from some of the Goyin, which he says is a Shigigas Hayroh. He says they mamish made a mistake in Pirish, Amilis, and Chumash. The Goyim are of the opinion, Vashona Hamish is Toklo Aspiryoi, is a Hemshech of a Vashona Harvias. In Pasuk Chav Dalet, here it's in Perik Yud Tes, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says Vashona Harvias, the pears that grow in the fourth year, HaKodesh Yiludim Lashem, that's Net Revai, a Kerem Revai, whichever position you adopt. Kerem Revai means it only applies to grapes, and Net Revai means it applies Kolei Tzmach, Titan Kolei Tzmach, all trees, all fruit-bearing trees. So the fourth year, the pear is HaKodesh, what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, if you want to eat it in Yerushalayim, Tov. If you want to eat it Chutz in Yerushalayim, you have to be poded and then take the money to Yerushalayim and buy. So after you poded the Net Revai, then you're permitted to eat the pears that used to be Net Revai, even Chutz in Yerushalayim. When are you allowed to eat the pears Net Revai? So some of the Gaonim wrote in this Svarim, Vashana Hamishis Toklas Pirio. After you poded the Net Revai, you take the money to Yerushalayim, whenever you have the first opportunity, and the pears can be eaten Chutz LYerushalayim only into the Shana Hamishis. They're probably going to rot, unless you have a freezer. They're probably going to rot until it's going to come the Shana Hamishis. That's how the Gainim understood. So the Rambam says, Zu Shigigos HaYirosh. Mamsha, mistranslation of the Pasuk in Chumash. Shana Hamishis Tochlos period doesn't go on the pears from the fourth year that you were poded and you want to eat Chutz LYerushalayim. Means the pears that grow on the fifth year are had to go, you can do whatever you want. Where did the Goyim get such a wild idea from? This is really wild. Where did they get such a wild idea? So it's not their fault. The Talmud Yerushalmi has one opinion like that. In Perik Mashuach Melchama, the last Perik in the end of Masechus Sotam, there's a Perik Mashuach Melchama. So the Mishnah talks about the details of the Pesukim and Chumash, that if it's a Mechamis or a Shuz, there are certain people who are exempt from going to the war. Mechemes mitzvah hakol yotzim. They draft everybody to the army. If they need everybody. But mechemes rishus, they're not supposed to draft everybody. So it says, mihu ish ashanot hakerem velochilo, mihu ish asheris isha velo lekocha, mihu ish ashabonet bayis, velo chanocha yelach v'yoshu v'lebeisa. So what does that mean? Not hakerem velochilo. He planted a vineyard and he didn't yet enjoy the pears on the fourth year. He wasn't paid in the maizish, then at the revaya on the fourth year. He didn't have a chance to be paid in the Net Revai on the 14th. So the Yerushalmi has a discussion in Perek Mashoch Mochama on that Mishnah of not the Kerem Lachillo, what does the Pshat and the Pasuk mean? Bashan Ahmi said, Yerushalmi has two opinions. Whether the Pshat is like the Rambam said, that's the accepted Pshat, or the Pshat is like these Goyinim. That the Peris that grew in the 4th year that you were paid there, you can only eat Chutz Yerushalayim after it reaches the 5th year. You can't eat them in the 4th year, even after you were paid them. So we know where the Goyim got it from. The Rambam says it's still a Shigigas HaYirah. He says we don't accept that opinion in the Yerushalmi. We accept the other opinion, that once you're poided, you can eat it right away. No Sochel al Adam. The Gemara has many levels of interpretation in the Pasuk. Rashi writes, Lahar b'ponim nidrish b'sanhedrin dap samach gimel. The Gemara has many levels of interpretation in the Pasuk. And we assume that all of the interpretations are correct. They're all Achas Dibra Lekim Shtayim Zusha Maiti. Mikarecha Yotzi Lekama Taimin. You have one Pasuk, and it has many different levels of interpretation. We accept all of the levels of interpretation. Which one is the Pshutu Shal Mikra? That's the problem. That's the question. Which one is the Pshutu Shal Mikra? So the Ramban has his famous suggestion. He claims that the Chumash is alluding to an Avodah Zarah ritual that they used to have. They used to slaughter an animal and they used to have a puddle of blood in the middle. They all knew that the blood circulation keeps the animals alive. The Chumash says, I don't know, they all knew. In the medical world, they didn't discover it till a few centuries ago. But in the Chumash, it says, that the blood circulates and the whole body keeps the body alive. And the same thing in the animals. Goes. The original pasuk goes on the animals. The Gemara assumes it applies to humans as well. So the Yom HaSoelim realized that the blood represents life, ki adam hu anefesh. So that's why they used to do some kind of a, and they thought that life is that this from the God in heaven above. They used to have some kind of a ritual when they would slaughter an animal, and the dam shanashama yotzeba would form a puddle on the ground. So they would have a huddle, all the people would sit around in a circle around the puddle of blood. They would make some kind of incantations, and they would think that this blood represented a lakus or something. Some kind of avodah zarah. So that's the Ramban says, that's the pshuta shel mikra. Lo soch lo al adam, you're not allowed to eat in such a chabura. People, even a glat kosher, the shechit is 100% legitimate. But they're sitting around, and if it's relating this blood to the koyach alakus, to the koyach achius, so that's an avodah zarah ritual, you're not allowed to do that. Lo so nachashu, lo so neinu, these are all forms of nichush, of superstition, which the Torah prohibits. The Rambam said, the Rambam puts in the end of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, because in the Mor HaNevuchim he writes, and he writes the same in the Mishnah Torah. He claims that this is put together here, this was a practice of the Avodah Avodah Zarah. They used to be clean shaven, they used to shave their beards and shave their peyos off. That's why we call them galochim. They used to shave off their beards and their peyos, so they're called galochim. Shulchan Aruch, they call Latin, it's called the Ksav Galochas. Because the masses were illiterate, they didn't know how to write. The only ones who knew how to write were the Galochas. So the Ramah calls it the Ksav HaGalochas. The Ksav other than Ksav Ashuris, other than the Hebrew script. So they call it the Ksav HaGalochas. An interesting lashon. So the that's why the Ramah puts it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Lo sakif pas roshchem. Lo sashchis piyazdik anecha. The Ramah in the listing of the minyan mitzvahs counts each one is one mitzvah. Losakim for pas rosh, we're not allowed to cut off the payas. Losashchis piyazik panech, we're not allowed to shave with a razor to shave off the beard. The Ravid has hasogis not only on the Mishnah Torah, the Ravid has hasogis on the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. So on this Rambam, he has a hasogis. He writes, Lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. It sounds like he's masig on the Rambam. Why the Rambam only counted as one lav? If I go to a Jewish barber and I tell him to shave off my face and shave off my beard with a razor, so the barber is over an avera and the customer is over an avera, both over an avera. The Gemara says, how do you know? Because it says, lo sakifu, in the plural. Lo sakifu is an athora la makif and an athora la nikif. And even though by lo sashchis, it doesn't say lo sashchisu, but nonetheless, the Tosefta says explicitly that the avera applies to both the barber and to the customer as well. There was the old Gerson arrived. The old Gerson arrived. You look in the beginning of the Yad HaZaka, he has the Sefer Mitzvahs. You have the old Gerson arrived. It is Lav La Makif, Lav La Nikaf, Lav La Mashchis, Velo La Nishchas. So the old reading arrived has it that the Ravid is commenting that it says Lo Sakifu in the plural, so there's an Aveir on the part of the barber as well as on the part of the customer. But as far as Hashchosas Pas HaZakan, it's only Lav La Mashchis on the barber, Velo La Nishchas. There's no Aveir on the part of the customer, because it says it in the singular. It doesn't say it in the plural. So the Kesem Mishnah says that that's not correct. It's against the Tosefta. The Tosefta writes explicitly that the customer is also in violation, because they're both written in the same pasuk. So there's a hekish between Lo Sakifu and Lo Sashchis. So the simple reading of the more correct reading in the Ravid is, he's asking a kasha on the Ram. Why does the Ram only count that as one lav? He should have said one lav on the barber, one lav on the customer to have the pays cut off, and one lav on the barber, and a fourth lav, a third and a fourth lav on the barber and on the customer, not to have the beard shaven. The Ravid is asking why the Ramam didn't count each one as two lav. And the Ramam holds no. You only count each one as one lav. The Isra on the barber and on the customer is one lav. The Isra on the barber and the customer is one lav both by the payas, pas harosh, and the pas hazokah. Rabbi Avolos Soloveitchik has a very interesting idea. It's a big chiddush. He says that this Ravid is l'shitosai. The Ravid in Hasokas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs is l'shitos in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Rambam quotes all the end of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Rambam quotes all the dinim of cutting off your payas. But then the Rambam writes the din that if I sit in a barber chair and he shaves off my payas, I don't get malchus because it's a lav shem amais. But if the barber says, "Can you please tilt over in an unusual fashion? Please lean over so I'll be able to shave off your beard," so then I get malchus also. Not only the Jewish barber gets malchus, the customer also gets malchus. It's a lav sheyesh b'mais. So that's a gemara. The Rambam just quoted gemara. That's all. Nothing shver with the Rambam. So there's a hasokas harayva there. Usually, most of the time, the Raivid is in disagreement with the Rambam. Once in a while, he's interpreting the Rambam. Once in a long while, he's giving a pirush. And once in a while, we're not sure whether he's disagreeing or he's interpreting. So the Raivid writes a whole paragraph there. He says, yes, the customer doesn't get malchus if he just sits there normally, unless he tilts over, but he is over an avera. If he allows the barber to shave off his payas, as the shaver did with the razor, the customer is in violation of an avera, but it's a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. And if he leans over, then he converts it into a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. Very nice. Tosfos in Bava Metzia writes like that also on Daf Yud. Probably the Rambam also agrees. The Raivid is probably not disagreeing with the Rambam. It's probably just commenting. That's what he thinks the nature of the din is. So the Kesef Mishnah took it that the Raivid is in disagreement with the Rambam. So he puts up his dukes, he's going to defend the Rambam. What do you have to defend the Rambam? Who says the Raivid is wrong? The Raivid didn't argue with the Rambam. He just writes that there's a lav, the lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. If he leans over, he makes it into a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. So the Kesef Mishnah says, no, the Rambam holds not like the Raivid. The Rambam holds the customer is not in violation of any avera whatsoever unless he leans over. There's no avera at all. How does he know that that's so? The Rambam didn't say anything to lead you to believe like that. So Rav Elbelo Soloveitchik is quoted as having said he thinks that the Kesef Mishnah is right in the Kavanas HaRambam. He thinks that that's the machlokes lishitosim in the minyan amitzus. That the Rambam's opinion is that Lo Sakifu is only counted as one lav, Lo Sash is only counted as one lav, because the real prohibition is only on the barber. If the customer leans over, he becomes the barber. If he's helping the barber, he's also helping to do the hakofa or the hashchosa. And the Raivid argues, Lishitosa, the Raivid says, no, there are two prohibitions. There's one lav on the barber, and there's one lav on the customer, not to allow your pays to be cut off, not to allow your beard to be shaven with a razor. So you're in violation, the customer is in violation of the Aveira, even if he does Eimbo Maisa. If he does the Eimbo Maisa, then he gets Malchus. If it's Eimbo Maisa, he's over an Aveira without Malchus. But there's a separate lav on the customer, a separate lav on the barber. And he thinks the Rambam, Lishitosa, who only counts the Iser on the barber and the customer is one lav, both by the Hakofas HaRosh and by the Hashosfos Pas HaZokan, the Rambam would think that there's only one lav, the lav is on the barber. The customer sits there, is never over anything. Unless he's Misayeya, then he becomes the barber. It's considered as if he shaved off his own. Yeah. Achidish. I don't know if you would have asked me, I don't understand why she can't lo sakifu as two lav. There's one pasuk in the Chumash. He lo soch la ladam. So the Rambam quotes, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos has a whole spiel about the Shoresh test. So he quotes all the six interpretations that the Gemara gave in Sanhedrin, where he says, don't think that you should count it as six lavim, lo soch la ladam six times, only one pasuk in Chumash. So you count it as one lav, despite the fact that it includes six, seven prohibitions. So he wrote, lo sakifu pas reshchem, is only one pasuk. So it counts once. You can say it's a lav on the barber and a lav on the customer. They're both over the lav independently. Not that the customer, if he leans over, becomes the barber. No, they're two lav, but they're only counted as one lav. And the minyan amitzah only counts once. Because a problematic problem there with that writer. Not sure exactly what he's driving at. Okay, they have signs up that all the single people should be tested next week for the Dor Yishon. It's a good idea. Not a bad idea at all. A little an ounce of prevention is worth a lot. There are people who get married. Why should you marry a girl who's a carrier of the same disease as you are, and then have Rachmana Litzlan, the possibility of having aggravation for the rest of your life from having a sick child? You can just as well fall in love with someone else. Why do you have to marry a girl who's going to have problems? So they're going to have testing next week, so I would recommend everyone should test.